Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. I've owned Tecovas for years. I love these goddamn boots. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. That's true. I never got blisters from these things. Huge fan. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Have a complimentary drink or two, which I've had, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are always at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. I can promise you that. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! By GhostBed.com.
Yeah, welcome to Ross Patterson Revolution, kids. Jesse Weissman is not here today. Okay, just got Papa Bear. Show goes on. The show goes on. Our daughter had a little injury, and she had to hop on down to the hospital. And yes, I'm saying hop because it was a leg injury. For the little one, trampoline mishap, nothing with the rusty chainsaws at all, but we're getting weird today. Got the Hard AF seltzer carton on my head, drinking Hard AFs today. She's not here, so fuck it. If I come home wasted, it's her fault. She wasn't able to keep me in check throughout the day, so it is what it is, dude. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm also not going to feel guilty about the shit that I want to talk about today. She didn't want to talk about this shit. She didn't know anything about Lou Gossett Jr. I don't know if we call this the Lou Gossett Jr. tribute episode, but I feel like we need to. One of the best to ever do it, in my opinion. We just lost him. R.I.P. We lost Sweet Lou. Sweet, sweet Lou Gossett Jr. Star of Iron Eagle, Some of you out there might put Officer and the Gentleman ahead of it. That's fine. He won a Best Supporting Oscar for it. First black dude to ever do that. Congratulations and all that. But for whatever reason, Iron Eagle left a mark on my heart. Bob, let's play our first little tribute clip here for Chappie Sinclair. Yeah.
Anything in particular or just...
Tell him to play the tape after he goes down. I think that's the most famous one.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, Chappie. Play the goddamn tape, Chappie.
Just hold together for two more seconds.
Oh, man. Look at that dogfight. Holloway's not here yet, or else I'd ask him what these are.
It's not bad effects for the 80s.
Great effects, dude. Look at that. Look at this fucking dogfight going down. Chappie's got his target lock on. Boom.
Well, that was kind of bad.
Blew it out of the sky. He blew it out of the sky, Bob. It was not bad. That's what it's like in real life. Sorry you've never served at the Olive Garden or anything like that.
Mayday.
Ah,
Mayday.
Turbine failure. That happens.
Chappie. Chappie, where are you? Just put in that tape. That's an order. Nothing you can do about me. Chappie, I want to help you. Where are you?
Damn it, Chappie's going down.
Climb high, like I told you. Doug, I ain't going to make it.
Ah, fuck.
Chappie!
Damn it, man. It still tugs my heartstrings right there. There it is.
A bunch of things must have gone wrong if you're listening to this.
Great voiceover.
Whatever happened, I know you must be real scared. I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to head for home. Maybe if I was you, I'd want to make a flat-out run for Helicon Air Force Base in Greece. Right now, you're probably filled with all the doubts in the world.
Sure am, Chappie.
But I'm going to tell you something, Doug, baby. God doesn't give people things he doesn't want them to use.
Yeah, God doesn't give people he doesn't want them to use. He doesn't give them things.
It's a power you have inside of you. Down there where you keep your guts, boy. It's all you need to blast your way in and get back what they took from you.
Fuck yeah, Chappie.
Your dad's just sitting there waiting for a miracle. And if you fly your heart out, you can give him one. It's up to you. Don't bother putting on this tape if you turn him back.
What are you going to do, Dougie Masters? What are you going to do, bud? Dad's out there. He's stuck in Iran.
Good. You decided, didn't you?
Yeah, Lou Gossett just...
First thing you got to do is convince yourself that nothing can stop you. You got to believe that plane you're in is like a suit of armor, like an Iron Eagle that nothing can penetrate. Now listen close, kid. I recorded some stuff to help you through each part of the mission. Remember to talk into your flight recorder so there's a record of everything. Don't waste your time worrying about me. You start thinking that way, and you'll mess up. Just pretend I'm in that cockpit with you, and we're still going in to knock the shit out of them together.
Yeah! Never say die, Iron Eagle. Never say die, Iron Eagle. Goddamn, one of the greatest movies of all time.
That might have been better than Glory.
I mean, are you talking about Denzel from Glory,
or are you talking about
Morgan Freeman? Because he's got a Morgan Freeman voice. Like, Lou Gossett Jr.'s got a famous voice, and that's all fine. But yeah, to narrate that whole shit by himself, maybe. Maybe it is. Look, Chappie's also got an Oscar. Who got it? Denzel got it for that. He got Best Supporting for that.
Yes. So I guess Lou Gossett Jr. was the first black guy to win that specific Oscar, Best Supporting Actor.
Yep.
And then Denzel was probably right after that.
Yeah.
And then Cuba, who may not be acknowledged much anymore in the near future.
Did he deserve it? Did Cuba Gooding Jr. deserve it for Jerry Maguire, for Christ's sakes? I'd say no. And by the way, this is not hindsight, right? We're not thinking of Cuba now. Obviously, you know, having sex with minors and P. Diddy's house and all the other shits and everything else he's accused of, going through a lot of lawsuits. Cuba is right now. But I'm just thinking about in the moment, Jerry Maguire, like, love the film. I don't want to pull my pants down and spread my cheeks and shit all over the movie Jerry Maguire. I'm not here to do that today. What I am here is to ask you a question, is if when you watched it, did Cuba Gooding Jr. bring anything to the role of spoiled black athlete that nobody else could have done?
I think he was pretty electric.
He was good.
And it was like, it was like 98 or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, who else? What other actors were that young, that unknown, and could be that sort of electric at that time?
Perfect segue, Bob. God damn it, you're on fire today, Bobby. Bobby Three Sticks. You know who it was? Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
Jamie Foxx was up against him. Isn't that wild?
For that role?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think anyone who...
For that role, and he said he bombed the audition. He said he got too nervous in front of Tom Cruise, and he ended up bombing the audition, and I guess he was friends with Cuba Gooding Jr. at the time, because Cuba Gooding Jr. was pretty big. He was coming off of Boys in the Hood, which was monstrous. I mean, monstrous fucking movie at the time. I still love Boys in the Hood, and that still holds up to this day. I caught it maybe 3 or 4 nights ago on YouTube TV. It was like on one of those basic cable sitches, you know, that you never watch anymore because nothing's fucking on television. So I ended up popping back into it, and it was the y'all want to go see a dead body scene? And I was like, ah, shit. And then it popped in. Next thing you know, boom, I'm fucking 20, 30 minutes deep in Boys in the Hood again. I love that. You could have nominated Cuba Gooding Jr. for that movie. Shit, that whole fucking movie could have been nominated. But who did he lose to that year? Who was in that group with Cuba Gooding Jr. that you were like, all right, spoiled rich athlete versus who? Because that'll help determine this.
Let me see. The 97 Academy Awards.
He better been not up against like DDL or anybody. If he's up against Daniel Day-Lewis, go fuck yourself. Go fuck your father while he's awake right after a fucking 12-hour shift.
Okay, so the winners, actor leading, actor in a supporting role. He beat, it was kind of a weak field, I think, but there's one other one where you could be like, all right, maybe this guy. So
all right, we'll read off the category, read off the list.
Cuba won
okay.
For Jerry Maguire. He was up against William H. Macy for Fargo.
Great movie.
This guy I've never heard of, this movie I've never heard of, Armin Mueller-Stahl for Shine.
Shine?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. Edward Norton in Primal Fear.
Fuck you. Are we not saying Edward Norton in Primal Fear?
I haven't seen Primal Fear, so I don't know.
You're kidding.
I haven't seen it, don't know.
I feel like we brought this up a few weeks ago, but that's one of the greatest roles of all time, and holy shit. You bet on Edward fucking Norton for Primal Fear?
Yeah.
Edward Norton's never won an Oscar, by the way.
That's crazy. He's awesome.
That's nuts,
and
man.
And then James Woods for Ghosts of Mississippi.
So look, there's some laughter from the listeners back there. I know what you're laughing at. The James Woods on Twitter, right? It's hard to remember that he was a great actor at one point in his life for fucking 3 decades, for Christ's sakes, before he was on Twitter. But he was. Nobody was better than Edward Norton in Primal Fear. To this day, that's one of the greatest acting performances there is. God damn. But I think that was Edward Norton's first movie. And so they didn't give him the respect that he deserved. Jerry Maguire was just so beloved at the time that they're like, oh, fuck. Well, we can't give it to Tom Cruise. Let's kind of pop on over the black guy there and just give him something for showing up here. But that's a goddamn shame, man. Fuck, Primal Fear.
What's funny is Cruise actually lost to a cast member from Shine.
TC lost to somebody from Shine?
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush beat TC.
Well,
to be fair, actor in a leading role was loaded this year.
Hang on. So pop up Shine. Pop up this movie, Shine. I think I've actually seen this, and this is a great film. Is it about the fucking singer? Yeah. Fuck, man. It's one of those. This is an actory one where, like, yeah, dude, it's a great film, great performances, all that other shit. Are you going to pop this on Friday nights with your buddies? Oh, hey, man, cut up some lines of cocaine, grab some of the hard AF seltzers. Let's put on Shine before we hit the clubs tonight. No, the answer is no. You're not going to pop that on or My Left Foot and get fucking weird with your buddies all night. You're not even going to pop this on with a chick and be like, hey, you want to hang out Netflix and chill and watch some Shine? No, dude, you're not fucking doing that. It's Jerry Maguire. Yeah, you are. You can have little funny bits. The human head weighs 8 pounds. Dogs can smell beef and fear. All that stuff, so I get it. Shine's just way in the background where you're like, all right, artistically, was it great? Yeah. Am I going to get off to it? No. Certainly can't strangle bait to it. Boo. So move that on down the road here. Who else was TC up against that year?
This was loaded. It was Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
Fuck you. Billy Bob should have won. Billy Bob should have won for that.
French fried taters.
Fuck. Who else?
Woody Harrelson and the People versus Larry Flint.
Great performance.
Which, by the way, so Edward Norton had two huge movies that year because he's in that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, Edward Norton was everywhere back then.
Yeah, and then Ralph Fiennes and The English Patient.
You know, Ralph Fiennes, that whole Fiennes family is kind of a fucking snooze to me. So, sorry about it. I did a movie with Joseph, his brother, and they're all so goddamn serious about shit and weird where you're like, all right, cool, man, I get it. But you're not a fucking DDL. You know, we're not a Daniel Day-Lewis. Whereas Chappie Sinclair, Lou Gossett Jr., yeah, he's in that fucking category. Is there another Iron Eagle scene right there?
Well, I have Chappie Sinclair rants from Iron Eagle. Oh, this appears to be a super cut of his rants.
Let's celebrate Chappie Sinclair today. Saved America. Pretty much.
I'd say so. Yeah. Again, this is better than Glory.
The movie?
Yeah, at this point, I think I'm more inspired.
Well, you're a history guy. You guys host Softcore History. So they showed Glory to me in school. Did they do that for you guys?
Yes.
Okay. So in Georgia, that was kind of like your intro to Civil War and like, oh, hey, chances are your grandparents owned slaves. And they popped on Glory and you're like, oh, fuck. Is that what it was like?
Did not love the Denzel scene with, I think like a third of my class was black. So
will they bring out the whip after he stole those shoes?
Yeah, that wasn't sweet,
man.
That wasn't a sweet.
All he went down to do was get some apple pie and some shoes, dog. And then they pulled out that whip. As soon as his shirt went down and you saw all those slashes on his back, that's when everybody felt bad. I think it was Matthew Broderick who even looked away. It was just like, oh boy, oh boy. But you had to beat him.
Wasn't
you know,
sweet.
He did steal shoes and steal a lady's pie out of her fucking window. All right, let's give Chappie Sinclair the respect he deserves today. R.I.P. Lou Gossett. Let's play some of the hits here from Iron Eagle.
Any difference? Look. I've already missed my simulator time. I'm not going to miss my flight time. I gotta go.
Well, let me go with you. I've been up a bunch of times with Dad.
Hey.
Come on, at least let me show you what I can do.
I'm tired of talking about it. I'm going.
You know he ain't got a chance. But you don't give a shit enough to help him.
Yeah.
You're no different than anyone else.
Oh, he took off the glasses. Fuck.
You really believe that nonsense you're saying? Look at me when I talk to you!
Fuck yeah.
Look, let me clue you into something right now. I've given this country 22 damn fucking years of my life. 22 years. I've seen young boys blown out of the air over the Pacific. I've seen their guts sprawled all over the rice paddies of Vietnam. So every time somebody dies for this country, believe me, boy, I give a shit. God damn it, nobody talks to me like this. I'm not going to start now. You going to help your father? Hmm? You be strong for your family. You stay right here.
Yeah, Chappie walked him the fuck down, dude. Dougie had to back off. You know he's going to look back. All right, press pause here, Bob.
Fully fueled.
So this is one of the first times that I had ever seen an actor give dialogue with his mouth closed like that and just kind of talking through the mouth like a ventriloquist would. Chappie Sinclair, God damn it, boy, you don't talk that shit with me.
I don't think I've ever heard this before, but
it's hard to do.
I'm hard to do. In love now with what he say. I don't give a damn fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn fuck.
That's fuck you, fucking boy.
Great. That is an. Oh, that's a fantastic combo.
Tired as shit. And the teeth never open, dude. The teeth in the mouth never fucking open on Chappie Sinclair, aka Lou Gossett Jr. Sorry, I was all in on the character, not the man there, because he lived these goddamn roles. Show some respect. But I'd only ever seen that done twice in my life. This is true. This movie, and ironically, Boys in the Hood. So when they get Cuba on the fucking hood of the car, there's a full circle moment here, live drinking on air. When they get him on the hood of the car, there's a black officer that holds him down, and he looks at him, same thing, doesn't move the teeth or mouth, and he goes, oh, you think you're tough.
Yeah, I bet you one of them rolling 60s. One of them Crenshaw Mafia motherfuckers.
And I never saw him open his mouth. I don't know the actor's name, but it's a black dude, too.
I don't care. I like the Bernie Mac version of that better.
Oh, you got the... That's right. Play it, dude. Play it.
This is one of the greatest comedies ever
made. Oh, it sure is, dude. It sure is. Damn it, man.
Damn. Bravo.
You there. Get out of the truck and put your hands in the air. Stand on one leg. With the tip of your finger, touch the tip of your nose. Now, in a circular motion, rub your stomach and pat your head while saying rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Strike a pose. Now vote.
This was a great fucking movie. How to Drink Gin and Juice in the Hood.
Don't be a menace.
Oh, Don't Be a Menace to South Central.
Yeah.
Now walk slowly toward the car.
This is just Bernie Mac. And Bernie Mac kind of talks fuck, like this
dude.
In general,
too. Yeah, he does, dude. I always forget about Bernie Mac and how great he was. He's dead, too, for Christ's sakes.
We didn't even do nothing.
Well, you think you tough?
You look so tough now, little nigga. Hate you black bastards. You stink. Hate your black skin. Hate your black pants. I hate black pepper. I hate black keys on the piano. Hate my gums because they black. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's lips. Hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck. And most of all, I hate that black ass Wesley Snipes. Move it!
Oh, that's great, dude. Bernie Mac, dude, he never gets talked about enough. I feel like right now, as far as like dead black comedians, it's Patrice O'Neal. He's the one that gets all the love. Bernie Mac was fucking awesome, though, dude. Definitely want to give him his moments and his flowers here.
Even his kind of like G-PG rated TV show was good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought.
It was great.
Back when there was no streaming, so you just kind of had to eat shit and watch what was on TV, and it would be on between like...
It was the Bernie Mac show.
King of the, like, I watched it on FX, like on reruns, like between like after school, between like King of the Hill episodes and That 70s Show episodes. It's great.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was called the Bernie Mac Show. It was fantastic. Because he still got to be himself. Obviously, he couldn't swear because it was a family sitcom, but it was awesome. Crank back up Chappie Sinclair here for Iron Eagle. Oh, this is when they're planning to go over to Iran. Now, before you play this, Bob, as you guys will see on screen here, there's two women. Now, this is where it started to lose believability to me. Because if they went on the mission, well, let's face it, it would have failed. Now, luckily, they stayed here and kind of helped plan out things. I would imagine they were either cooking or cleaning. After like Doug and Chappie kind of went over to Iran to do shit. Hopefully they weren't voting or driving. Don't know. But go ahead and play this. I apologize to the female listeners here. Jesse's not here, so she can't say a goddamn word. Play this clip. Yeah.
Sir, interior tanks and two exterior drop tanks.
Armament?
As requested and visually verified, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Bazin.
Yes, sir.
Flight plans cleared?
Yes, sir. Both fully authorized.
Review?
Is that the guy from Teen Wolf, Bob?
As requested, I have a list here of times and coordinates, all verified.
It is.
Uh-huh. Which guy?
Place of detention.
It was Stiles from Teen Wolf.
As of 1500 hours today, Colonel Masters is still being held at Billy Island.
I don't know
the
same who Stiles
location.
Is.
Right
no
there.
No change in the enemy
plans.
In
the front,
sir.
To the right.
I don't know. I recognize the black guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
I want to congratulate you all on some very fine work. You have
he played the gay
way
guy.
In a short while. I've always said that a person should not be judged by their experience, but by their performance, and yours has been exemplary.
Yeah.
I would like to shake everybody's hand. I've never had a finer planning staff ever. Ever.
God. The way he drags out those words, too.
I thought I told you to get some sleep.
Just relaxing a bit. Watching a little TV. I don't need much sleep for this anyway.
Oh, Chappie's going to turn
off
the
TV. How
do
you know what you need for this?
I just meant I'm ready. You're ready for this, aren't you, Chap?
You think it's going to be so easy, don't you?
No, I don't think it's going to be all easy. I'm just ready for it, that's all.
You ain't ready for shit, boy.
Again, barely opens the lips and the teeth, dude. I love it so much. It's so hard to do. Congratulations.
Yeah.
80s, what is it, 86, 87? It was able to do that for 87 years.
Go ahead, open it.
Yeah, pulls out the black and whites.
Who are these guys?
When he was a nom.
A bunch of kids that thought that they were ready too.
Pilots?
All of them.
Yeah.
They all look about 22 or 23.
That's right. All of them.
So I don't see what you're getting so worried about, chap. What makes them any different than me?
Because they're dead!
Yeah.
All of them.
Take it in, Dougie. God damn it, man. Son of a bitch. Was he on SNL, too, at one point? With fucking Eddie Murphy?
Lou Gossett Jr.?
Lou Gossett. Look at that. Is that him in the middle there?
Oh. Yeah. It's a sketch. I think he hosted, and he was in this sketch.
No shit. That's fucking crazy, dude. I never would have pictured him hosting shit like that. He always seemed like a serious dude. Whenever he was out at award shows and shit like that, he was always dressed to the nines and everything else. Where you're like, man, that guy's too serious. He's not going to fuck around.
You know what I forgot he was in?
What's that?
The HBO Watchmen miniseries.
Oh, shit. For real?
He plays the older version of the black superhero from the original like 1950s Watchmen, who randomly like started banging one of the other dudes in the Watchmen.
Look, that's going to happen when you're superheroes, you know? A hole's a hole, and you got to exploit it. Was he good in it? Was he good in the show?
Okay. Yeah, he was great.
Great. Good. Because you always wonder what your last thing is going to be, and then if you got to kind of live with that the rest of your life. In death, I guess. What did I watch? I finally was able to put on Cocaine Bear, which I didn't like, by the way. And that was Ray Liotta's last movie. And I was like, man, motherfucker, dude. Ray went out in Cocaine Bear, for Christ's sakes. If it was good, who cares?
It's just snakes on a plane.
Sort of. The dialogue, at least in Snakes on a Plane, was better. Somebody got to get these motherfucking snakes off the plane. Like, that shit was cool. We didn't have that in Cocaine Bear. We didn't have any fun stuff like that, unfortunately. Pop-up Officer and the Gentleman there. With Sweet Lou Gossett Jr. This is something fun for you guys at home. I watched this movie on accident at a drive-in theater. You're probably saying to yourself, how did you watch it on accident at a drive-in theater? Parents didn't have that much money growing up, so the drive-in was like a dollar at that point, and then they would kind of upsell you on the rest of the shit. Well, I used to hide in the trunk, so they wouldn't have to pay for anything. This allowed my parents to have a date night, and I would go to sleep. In the back of it, and I didn't go to sleep in this. So this was the first male dick and balls that I saw on screen in my life, and I think looking back on it now, that's why I love it so much. I get excited every time male genitalia pops up in a movie. It makes me feel like I'm a kid again, kind of sneaking a peek at it, but for those of you not familiar with Officer and the Gentleman, it's when he hung himself in the shower, and then they go in and he finds his dead buddy, full dick and balls on display, and it just burst out laughing, dude. I just burst out laughing. It was great. Because they used to do a double feature. It was like one for kids, and then the late movie at like midnight was for adults, and all the kids were asleep at that point. I wasn't asleep. And I saw Lou Gossett Jr. absolutely crush, and then I saw my first male dick and balls on screen, and it was fucking awesome there. What's his most famous clip from this? Is he one? Yeah, that's it. So the guy that's up here right now, that's the guy's dick and balls I saw, and I don't know his name to this day. I recognize him from shit, but I was pretty fucking young, and I didn't see this till years later. So this wasn't like in the theater sitch. This was like at a drive-in movie theater years later, so. Yeah. Do you know that dude's name?
Yeah. I'm trying to double check what he's in because I almost got him confused for Arliss, and he's not Arliss.
And he's not Arliss. Arliss is a fucking cocksucker.
David Keith is this guy's name.
That's right, dude.
Had a good career, been working for a long time.
Journeyman. Yeah. Journeyman. Good actor. Yeah. Play this scene here for Sweet Lou.
This is probably the most famous line from the film.
Yeah.
Hi, son. How you doing, Sarge? What'd you call me?
Beg your pardon?
What did you call me, boy?
I called you Sarge.
Before that?
Well, I didn't call you anything before that.
You said, how are you? I am not a you, boy. A you is a female sheep, boy. Is that what you think I am, boy?
No.
No, sir?
No, sir.
Louder, sweet pea.
No, sir!
Hey, you want to fuck me up the ass? Is that what you call me, a you, boy? You queer.
Hell no, sir.
Where are you from, boy?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, sir.
Ah. Only two things come out of Oklahoma. Steers and queer. Which one are you, boy? I don't see no horns, so you must be a queer.
And that's a perfect cap, that little jingle at the end. Whoever added that on YouTube, congratulations. Congratulations. Now, beyond these two movies, if you were to ask me what else Lou Gossett Jr. is in, I'm kind of drawing a blank, only because these were two powerful films that kind of pushed me back. Look up his IMDb, and let's go through it here real quick.
All right,
because these are the only two that I really fucking know inside and out.
I'll give you his four. Oh, actually, that's kind of weird. It doesn't even list.
He's probably got 180 credits.
200 credits.
God damn.
With, by the way, he's dead, and he's got 12 upcoming.
Shut the fuck up.
Although some, I think, may not. I mean, it's a lot of pre-production. So,
he ain't going to make it to actual production, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Here's what IMDb says he's known for.
Okay.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Yep.
Something called Enemy Mine.
No.
Plays the role of Drac.
Nope. Don't know that.
He was in three episodes of Roots.
Ah, shit, dude. Roots was one they showed in school forever. All right. That makes sense.
And then Jaws.
Kuta Kinte.
Yeah. He wasn't Kuta Kinte, but yeah.
No, I know. It was the dude from Reading Rainbow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was Kunta.
And then Jaws 3D.
All right. So... Jaws 3D. I enjoy shitty 3D movies. It's a fucking guilty pleasure. I enjoy all those shitty B movies, which is why I made all those St. James, Street James movies back in the day. Because I enjoy that style of like, all right, fuck it. What can we get away with? Jaws 3D, I saw years and years later. It was one of those like Blu-rays that came with the glasses. So you could watch it through the fucking TV and all that shit. At the time, I was writing a 3D movie. It's called Spring Break Massacre 88. And I wanted shitty effects like that in the movie. Because at that point in Hollywood, it wasn't that hard. And a bunch of... Do you guys remember that phase? It was like a good 5 to 7 year phase where it was all 3D movies for a while.
Yeah, it was the fucking worst.
It was the worst because they weren't leaning into the shittiness of it, which is why I went to see 3D movies in the first place.
There was one that did.
Drive Angry 3D.
Okay, no, I didn't see that one. There's probably more than one that did, but there was one that I saw that did.
Okay.
And I love it to this day. Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas or whatever it's called.
Fuck, I didn't see it in 3D. I know that movie, I didn't see it.
And it was wonderful.
God damn, that rocks.
Because they did all the dumb, shitty 3D stuff.
Damn it, man. That's what I love. That's what I love, man. And that's what I miss. So... to write that script, because the guy that I wanted was the director of Drive Angry 3D, and I'd gotten to meet with him, and he was known as like the best 3D director there was, because we thought that was kind of going to be the future back then. And I got Jaws 3D to kind of make some notes on like shitty effects and everything like that. The amount of times that a shark head would just lunge out right out at you was... just fucking hilarious, man. I don't even give a fuck what it was. Like an arm got bit off and flew off the screen, like things like that. I miss shit like that. And I think if you were going to do a fun, updated horror movie, instead of pumping out these screams over and over and over again, which they're doing another one, Homegirl signed back on, Neve Campbell. She's going to be in Scream, I think it's 7 now. Christ. Whatever. I think if you went back to those old school shitty 3D movies and did it, those could be really fucking fun. What else did I watch for that script? There was a Friday the 13th. Bring up which one was in 3D in that one. That one was rad because heads were getting chopped off and then coming right at you. And whenever a head gets chopped off, it was fucking awesome.
Looks like part three.
Part three. Okay.
1982.
All right.
Was the, yeah, was the 3D one.
So obviously I wasn't alive for any of this shit, but was able to get it on the old Blu-ray and then pop on the glasses in my apartment and write all this shit. And those were a blast to me. What happened, though, was they were trying to make an extra, I think it was $3 or $4 a ticket on all those 3D movies at the time. And they were just putting everything in 3D, but doing the 3D afterwards. So it was like a cheat code, and hardly anything came out at your face. Now, the wild thing is I took my kid to see Avatar in 3D, the last one that came out. And he, I would have thought, you know, a 10-year-old would love it because shit's popping out at you. And especially Avatar. The effects are amazing and all that. Couldn't care less. He fucking hated it. Took the glasses off like after an hour.
No one liked it. Fucking no one liked it.
No one.
That's why I don't do it.
Including my 10-year-old. Well, though, I mean, the other two are shot, so they don't have a choice. Those are coming out, and I think it still made $1 billion, so whatever. But I took off my glasses next to my kid, and I looked at the screen. It's blurry as shit because that whole movie was shot in actual 3D, and I was like, "What are you watching then? This is all blurry." And he goes, "Dad, I don't even like this whole movie at all. So it doesn't really matter whether it's blurry or not." I was like, "All right, cool, man." So, you know, we had some popcorn, some laughs, some snacks, and some good times, and then popped on out of there. But I didn't like that Avatar. I don't like any of the fucking Avatar movies.
They're bad.
They're bad.
Boring as fuck.
It's the story. The script of those fucking sucks. So yeah, man, I don't know who that audience is. I thought I would take my kid just because of the effects. It turned out I enjoyed the effects more. Probably because I was on some shit that night, but whatever. Go through the rest of Sweet Lou's career here. This is the Lou Gossett Jr. tribute show here, and I only really love two of his movies.
He honestly, he's got some great credits that just aren't on his top for some reason.
Okay.
He was in the remake of The Color Purple, which, whatever.
The last one?
Yeah.
I mean, it was nominated.
Yeah.
Certain people were nominated, I should say.
Like I said,
you got to do that. As a black actor, if Oprah calls you to do the Color Purple remake, it doesn't matter who you are. You're like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope he hung up the phone, though, after talking to Oprah and called his agent and said, "Why would you send me this shit?" With his lips and teeth closed like that. That'd be my dream.
Had a couple nice HBO stops, like I said, in Watchmen, which was excellent.
Okay.
And then
people loved it.
And then he was in an episode of Boardwalk Empire.
Ah, shit. All right.
So at this point, I think he's just getting a lot of random credits. He was in an episode of Psych.
Hate Psych.
I got to get back to the actual, like,
it's fun.
To his, like, peak career.
Hey, by the way, Joel's not in here, so I'm going to tell you the story real quick.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit that it's live here. He'll figure it out later. One of the chicks he hooked up with was from Boardwalk Empire, from that Drinking Bros episode earlier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to say which one. You can ask me off air.
I will ask you off air, because the one I'm picturing is the funniest possible outcome.
It's a fun one. I can tell you that, Bob. You might have guessed it inside your mind, and I might be sitting inside your mind with you on that park bench. I think you guessed it. I think you got it. I think you got it. Don't say who it is.
I mean, how many female characters are in Boardwalk Empire?
There's a lot.
Not too many.
Over the years, I watched the whole series. What else is Sweet Lou in?
You know, it's kind of
weird, right?
A lot of credits, but not a lot of, like, standouts. He was in two episodes of Good Times, an episode of The Jeffersons.
Damn, Good Times and The Jeffersons rocked.
Two episodes of The Rockford Files.
Rockford Files is great too, dude. These are all the shit that was on TBS as a kid growing up on, like, reruns. So I watched all that bullshit. It was on all day long. And then, TBS was our local station in Georgia.
Yeah, the Braves.
I watched every Braves game, every Cubs game on WGN, like all of it.
And then he was really just kind of working.
Well.
Toy Soldiers, he was in that.
Oh, shit. I fucking love Toy Soldiers, dude.
That was a great one, yeah.
Fuck.
That was, this cast is insane.
Was Sean Astin in that?
This is Sean Astin.
Yeah. He was in Range 15.
Arlie Ermey, Lou Gossett Jr. Oh, wait, I was thinking of another movie where there's, like, little kids who are soldiers. But either way, this one's good, too.
Well, they're teenagers.
Yeah.
They're teenagers. They're at, a male boarding school, which is not sweet. Who else? That was a loaded cast. I love Toy Soldiers, dude.
Will Wheaton.
Yeah, before he got all fucking weird.
Yeah. Denham Elliott. Who was in Indiana Jones.
Denham?
Denham Elliott. Denholm.
Would you
Elliot.
Go with a stage name that includes jeans in it? Denim? Denim Elliott.
I think he's so old that he calls jeans dungarees.
Oh, could be.
I don't think it's...
Was Denim Elliott the old guy?
In Indiana Jones, yeah, he was... I forget the fucking guy's name, but he's in the first one and the third one.
Indiana Jones. He is the antidote to the poison you just drank, Dr. Jones.
That's the one he's not in.
Oh, is it not that one? Well, fuck me. Fuck me, Bob. Sorry to piss all over your day here. The toy soldiers hangs. All right, so we got, I would go four, like, fucking end-all be-alls. You're lucky to be in, like, one sweet movie in your life. I'll go Roots, Iron Eagle, Toy Soldiers, and Officer and a Gentleman, obviously. Still holds up to this day. Anything else?
That's kind of it, honestly.
Damn, dude. 200 credits, and we're down to four? I'll give him the TV shows, but
he's in a bunch of TV shows. Family Guy, ER.
He did Family Guy?
He did an episode of Family Guy. He plays a drill sergeant in an episode of Family Guy.
I like that. At least he's got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was just a worker.
He was, man. He was.
This is, honestly, it's a little depressed. This is how fucking hard it is to be an actor. Like, this guy won an Oscar, and then just, what is this? I mean, he's in an episode of Touched by an Angel.
Well, look, at the time, man, that was a big show. And obviously, hearts go out to everybody that were touched by that angel. I don't know if the angel got consent. We're still kind of working with the authorities on that. But we'll see. You don't turn down Touched by an Angel at that time. I get it. What else? Was there something crazy, embarrassing where you're just like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's mostly just that this was the work he was getting after winning an Oscar.
Well, Bob, he turned down Range 15.
Which is hilarious, because like he's literally taking every other credit offered to him.
Real quick, before we get back into Chappie Sinclair, we got some sponsors to put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 50% off. It's all 50% off everything in the entire store. I know. It's goddamn shocking. My mind is ripped out of my skull. I'm trying to process it right now. But look, kids, you're getting mattresses 50% off. Pillows 50% off. Sheets. Adjustable bases. Covers. The covers for butt stuff, by the way. You know, the covers that cover that mattress, so you're not seeing any dookie juice on there. A little DJ. After a quick anal sesh on there, 50% off. What? You're going to need it, you dirt bags. I know some of you at home. I'm not going to say who you are, Richard Danoff, but I know some of you guys out there who need that. Also, the weighted blankets and the mattresses for RVs. 50% off of the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Now, when you do checkout, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit. Fill up the cart as high as it'll go. Stretch it out. Stretch out the fucking options for 3 years, dude. Take advantage of Ghostbed's weaknesses and exploit them. If you've got a fucking terminal disease, too, fucking get everything, dude. Who cares? Leave that debt for your family members, dude. Fuck them. Fuck them kids, okay? Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and treat yourself right by getting yourself a brand new bedroom set. Next up, we got hardafseltzer.com. It's fun when it's around, especially when you're drinking them throughout the whole goddamn show, all right? 8%, no carbs, no sugars, no gluten, if you give a shit about that. We're live. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas right now. Texas just crossed 60 HEBs out there in Georgetown. Finally, we got some out in Georgetown over there in Round Rock for you fucks. We're in the Kroger in Houston down there. We're also in every single Total Wine in the entire state. Jano Barbecue's got us. They're also catering the draft show here. April 25th with Derek Wolf. It's going to be a banger of an evening, dude. It always is every year. Grab a 12-pack there. Jano Barbecue's also doing the show, so if you're in town, want to pop on by, feel free. We're here all night. doing God knows what that evening, especially if the Falcons make the wrong fucking move. Speaking of the Falcons, we're live in Georgia as well. 300 locations there. All the Piggly Wigglies down there in Alabama. We're at the University of Alabama, Auburn, all that other stuff. All the Total Wines down there in Florida. North Carolina out in Wilmington and the Total Wine. All the brunches out there if you want to pop in, have some of the best brunch of your life. Whiskey Creek out there in Masonboro we're in. Grab some Hard AF seltzers there. Tennessee. Smoky Mountain Axe House. We're live out there. Frugal McDougal's in Nashville. All those Total Wines out there as well. Columbus, Ohio. We're in Standard Hall on campus. Short North Pint House down there in the old Short North. Urban Myers Pint House out there. If you're watching the games getting rocked or watching the Masters this weekend, that's fun. That'll be on all this week. Looking forward to that because we're going to be live from the Masters while we're there. And if we're not in one of those states that you're in currently or one of the surrounding states, we can just hop on over the border. If you're in Michigan, just go down to that store in Toledo. Hit that liquor store up, dude. Go to the store locator on hardafseltzer.com. Type in your city or zip. It'll take you to the closest location. Or you can still get them right to your house. Support us and support the show by going to hardafseltzer.com today. Man, I think here's what my thoughts are on that, where I think there's maybe 15, 20 minutes. Have you guys seen the movie? There's a bunch of listeners here. Have you guys seen Range 15? Okay. There's a scene where Evan's dick gets ripped off by a midget zombie, and then the midget throws the dick back at him. I think that's when everybody checked out of it and was just like, cool, man, I'm not fucking doing this bullshit. So Sweet Lou is out of there. Who else said no? Rob Riggle, which was a shocker. He was military. And we offered him three times his day rate. I go, hey, dude, you know, we're making a movie for veterans about veterans. And I go, it'd be great to have you. You're like the most famous veteran right now. And his agent goes, we don't really like the script or whatever. And I go, what's his day rate? And they told me what it was. And I go, great, we'll triple it. And still said no. It was a one-day fucking shoot for Rob Riggle, that son of a bitch. But Sweet Lou, I understand. You know who else turned me down, Bob, which is fucking weird? Do you know the fucking Somalian guy from...
Captain Phillips?
Yeah. I am the captain now?
Yeah.
I tried to hire him for Helen Keller versus Night Wolves. Same thing. Same thing where... I just wanted to put him in the trailer and say Oscar nominee Akbar Juwamana, whatever the fuck his name is, right? And I thought it was going to be a fun joke for the movie. And his agent was like, no, man, he's not doing that bullshit. And I was like, what the fuck else is he doing? I found out a year later he was still driving cabs. That's how hard Hollywood is. You get nominated for an Oscar, and then you're driving cabs 2 days later.
Yeah, that's a fucking nightmare.
Isn't it nuts? Because imagine seeing him out. We all know that scene. I am the captain now. And it's like everywhere that motherfucker goes, he's got to hear that all day long the rest of his life. Oscar nominated. And then he's going to turn around and say, if you could leave me 5 stars on Uber, that'd be great.
What year did that come out? Did Helen Keller come out?
2015 or 16, I want to say.
Okay. He may have been shooting Blade Runner 2049 instead.
Oh, God. Was he in that?
Yeah, he was.
Well, maybe his agent was like, look, he's on his way. He's on his way. Blade Runner didn't do well.
Oh, actually, you know what he might have been shooting?
What?
He was in the movie we discussed Thursday.
Which one?
Brothers Grimsby with Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen.
Come on!
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. All right. Now it makes sense he turned it down. Because money's money, and some people realize it, some people don't, and they don't really give a shit, where they're like, eh. You know what it reminds me of? Like the old school actors like this, that we're talking about, like Sweet Lou and those guys today, are like half the NFL players that have been on Drinking Bros Sports. Some of them are just there to collect a check. It is my job. I don't give a fuck about winning a Super Bowl or, you know, in this case, an Oscar. And they're like, dude, if you pay me, I'll fucking do it. I don't really give a shit. Shatner was like that. He was fucking cool as shit. William Shatner. He was like, all right, I'm Shatner. Just make sure the money's there on time. And it was like, all right, cool, man. But some people actually cared, and then they got into the project with you where they were like, all right, well, I can't do this for this reason and this reason and this reason. And I was like, fuck, all right. Chevy Chase was one. He was supposed to do that too. I flew out to New York to meet with his agent, and he's like, "Look, man, Chevy hates the script. I'm sorry." And I was like, "Cool, but does Chevy not love that fucking money?" It was $150,000 for one day, and I think I even pared the day down to 6 hours, and he goes, "No, he's rich as fuck and he doesn't care." And I was like, "Oh, all right." I was like, "You mind me asking why?" And he goes, "He thinks it's too vulgar," and he goes, "The comedies that he does have to be not as vulgar like that." And I was like, all right, it made sense. So I didn't leave there with any hard feelings on that one, you know? Not bad at all.
Not really in anything, like, dirty.
No, and that I don't mind. The Rob Riggle one was always fucking weird to me, man. I could never figure that out over the years.
Yeah, he would just be doing his stepbrother's bit, basically.
He's doing, like, fucking Fox ads with the Fox robot and shit, like... Who cares?
Can't relate. He's a softcore history fan. Can't relate.
Is he really?
And he shared a clip.
How do you know?
Because we saw him share a clip.
Rob Riggle shared a clip from your show on there?
Yeah.
No shit.
A clip that was deeply historically inaccurate.
That's funny.
As we came to learn.
Did he do it on purpose, like as a dig? Or
he must have just thought it was funny, I guess. I hope he didn't think it was interesting, because it was definitely wrong.
That's really fucking funny, dude. Because other than that, I heard he's a pretty fucking cool guy. I heard him on somebody's podcast the other day, and he was talking about Step Brothers, and they were talking to him about the Catalina wine mixer, and they were like, how many people come up to you in your face and scream out the Catalina wine mixer every day? And he goes, at least five. Five or six people every single day. And I was like, I bet, man. That's one of those movies that just fucking grew on you over the years. You know, I didn't like it on the first watch. I don't know about you guys.
I thought it was kind of whatever.
Yeah,
especially
same.
Compared to the last two, because it was kind of the third in that sort of unofficial trilogy of Will Ferrell movies
and John C. Reilly. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I was gonna. I didn't know we were recording a RPR today on Friday or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was gonna share with you the comedy movies that turned 20 this year.
Okay.
And 2004's list is just because we always complain that there's no comedies anymore.
Bring it up.
The movies that came out in 2004 for comedies, it's fucking nuts.
Oh, bring it up. I'm down to take a gander at it. That was obviously my era, so good shot. I either read them, rewrote them, or fucking auditioned for them at that point.
So this is, they ranked these as if it's in order, but I'm just going to read them to you.
Okay.
I don't agree with the order, but I'm just going to read them to you. First one, Dodgeball.
All right. So Jesse's already said on the show, so I'm not speaking out of school here. I dated Missy Pyle. She's in that. And Justin Long is in it as well, from Accepted. That one, I love the script when I read it. I didn't initially like the movie, and then it was weird. Like, a bunch of one-liners over the years kind of grew on me, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but in today's world, even 20 years later, that's a bold move, Cotton, from Jason Bateman, is probably the most famous line from that movie, other than you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two are the ones that kind of live with me, but they are making a sequel. Did you guys know that?
I did not, and I'm that not hyped about that.
It's in the works right now, friend. So is Happy. So that's a Happy Gilmore movie is going forward at Netflix.
That's fucking terrible.
Sorry.
It's going to be bad.
I hope not.
Just don't make a Billy Madison sequel. Just don't destroy Billy Madison.
I know. They will.
Yeah, they will. They'll give it time.
All right. What else we got?
Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, that's a great movie. Love Shaun of the Dead. I knew nothing about those guys whatsoever. Didn't read the script, didn't work on it, just showed up because everybody had said it was great, and I fucking loved that movie. I had a blast in the theaters, because I would go see every single movie in the theaters. I still do if I can. That's kind of the fun part about having an older kid now, where it's like, he can watch PG-13 shit and enjoy it, but I did love Shaun of the Dead. That's a great one.
And this is how loaded it was back then? Afterthought.
Yeah.
In that year.
Yep. 100%. That wouldn't have been in the top of my list in that year. What else you got?
Team America.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn. Nominated for an Oscar, too. For best song. I mean, that's... Yeah. Wasn't that the one where Trey and Matt showed up in the Jennifer Lopez dress?
No,
the
they
Oscars?
Didn't get an Oscar nom for that. They got an Oscar nom for South Park, the movie.
Ah, you're right.
Which
you're
was
right.
in 98 or yeah. something like that.
Blame Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Team America, though, fuck, that movie's so good, still holds up to this day. Matt Damon. That's all I think of when I hear that movie. And then the graphic sex scenes, obviously.
White chicks?
Puppets. I didn't like white chicks. Marlon Wayans has been on the show. He's been on Drinking Bros before. Big fan of him. Great fucking guy. And I like Marlon Wayans. But I did not like that film.
Girls like it. Women like it.
Women like it, yeah.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's fucking terrible.
I agree.
And she's like, no, it's hilarious. You know, no, it's hilarious. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This is probably a Mount Rushmore comedy for me, if not in general. Anchorman.
Top five? I've got it at 2 on my list overall. I mean, ever. Comedies, yeah, ever.
Ever.
I got Caddyshack at 1. I got Anchorman at 2. Anchorman, I went to see opening night with Klain in L.A. There was a huge movie theater there called Arclight, Cinerama Dome, same thing over the years. And the audience, so it was sold out Friday night, opening nights. No one in the entire audience left. No one, except for me and Klain. We were high as shit, and I thought it was the funniest goddamn movie I've ever seen in my life. And it still holds up, still to this day. And then obviously everybody quoted it afterwards. I'm still puzzled by the reaction in that movie theater that night.
That's insane.
I think it was just so far ahead of its time that we'd never seen people improv like that before. And then it be cut together into a movie where it was just that out of control. Because even The Jerk, I watched that Steve Martin documentary the other night on Apple. The Jerk is one of my all-time favorite comedies as well. But the structure of that script and the lines were more of like an airplane where it was one-liners and fun shit like that, where Anchorman was just so far off the fucking rails. I mean, even buying suits and then they're in an alley and somebody's getting stabbed in the heart with a trident. I didn't see any of that coming at the time. And man, that was the funnest comedy I've ever seen in movie theaters, I think.
Yeah.
Where I laughed endlessly. I laughed so hard that I had to go back again. So I saw it on a Friday, and then I went back again on a Sunday because I missed so many great one-liners in that movie to go and watch it again.
So that came out the summer before I went to college. So I've probably seen that movie 100 times.
And then when you got to college, I bet everybody was quoting it. Yeah.
Everyone was quoting it. Everyone had it on DVD. Like, that was – but I loved it. Like, it is literally – a top 2-3 comedy of all time.
Easily. Still to this day, easily. By the way.
Yeah. By the way, this next one.
Yep.
Again, Afterthought in the Year would be like a revolutionary, everyone get back in theaters, comedy's back, comedy now. This is okay. How loaded this year was. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, shit, dude. Great film. Saw it in theaters. Same thing. And man, it was the title that got me. I don't really remember much about the trailer or anything like that, but I remember the Mountain Dew guys in the store. Extreme! Fucking extreme!
Yeah.
But that movie rocked. All those guys were great. Script was great. Great fucking movie. I enjoyed all of the sequels, too, by the way.
They're all funny. They're all, of them. All fucking funny. Because they don't
give
a shit.
All of them were great. Nope. All of the sequels were great. I love that whole series. Love those guys in that movie together. And what an odd pairing, too. You've never seen an Indian paired up with an Asian dude, especially about weed. And it was fantastic all the way around. Still love Harold and Kumar, for sure.
And by the way, literally, we would not have Barney Stinson, we would not have Neil Patrick Harris without this movie.
No, you wouldn't have.
This is his entire career
sure
is thanks to this movie.
Sure is. And I went up against him for How I Met Your Mother. That was right after Harold and Kumar, and it was... no contest. I mean, he got all of that from Harold and Kumar. I bet you if we ever have him on the show, he would owe the entire second half of his career to that movie. For real.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, and it was just like 3 or 4 scenes in it, and he crushed him. He was so great on How I Met Your Mother as well. But at that point, I knew he was gay, and I don't think he was out yet. And I was like, man, the gay guy for that role, huh? I was like, that's the ladies' man. But he crushed it, and he was fucking great. And he was the best character in How I Met Your Mother, too.
Oh, by far.
By far. He was awesome. What else?
Another afterthought that would be like a top 3 comedy now, Eurotrip. Did you go out for that?
I did. That one hurt because the script was so good. God damn, that was a great script. Huge fan. Didn't do well in the box office.
It's a cult classic.
I
saw it in theaters.
Yeah. It only made like $4 million in theaters.
Scotty, I remember going into it. No. I mean, how much did they spend?
Not much, because they shot it over in Romania, which is, by the way, how they got Matt Damon. So Matt Damon was shooting Born Identity over there. And one of the fucking directors or producers was pretty famous. And they were like, hey, would you mind doing a cameo in this? And it was like a last second thing. And that was the most famous thing from that movie.
Mm.
The reason why I think it didn't do well is the cast looked super, super young and they were doing like nudity and shit like that. And I think you got to go older like American Pie did.
I think it wasn't marketed well. I was, again, this was the summer after high school for me. And me and my friends went to see it. And I remember just being like dragged into it to be like, I don't want to see this dumb teen comedy.
People probably thought it was like a road trip sequel or something. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was good. I was
crying laughing in the theater.
I know. I think if you got an older cast, you could have gone along with some of their shit more.
Ah, Jesse's favorite movie came out this year.
Which one?
Without a Paddle.
Oh, God damn it, man. I didn't like Without a Paddle. I didn't read for Without
Nobody
a Paddle.
Nobody did.
I didn't read for
Nobody
Without a Paddle.
Did.
When shit got bleak, Bob, I read for part three. That's true.
Speaking of our boy Bernie Mac, Mr. 3000.
You know, couldn't get into Mr. 3000. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you that one today.
All right. I have a Pantheon film here, too. Again, this is how fucking stacked this year was.
Okay.
Mean Girls.
Oh, shit, dude. So my oldest loves Mean Girls. Like, that's another one that has never died. Shit, the musical was just out in theaters in January.
Yeah, that's awful. I've watched a couple clips from it, and I want to throw my fucking
Did you see the movie
the
itself?
I can't watch the whole thing.
Okay.
Those clips piss me off.
Underrated movie that came out this year, The Girl Next Door.
Oh, man. Yeah. Girl Next Door.
Again, a low-tier movie from that year that is hilarious, that if it came out now would be the best comedy of the year.
$30 million budget. Luke Greenfield was the director on that. I did the table read with all those guys, and I think only two of them ended up making the actual film itself. But I can tell you how they got greenlit. Weird story. He brought a DJ in, and that's never happened before. They hired a casting director, hired a full team of actors to do a read-through for the studio execs, and then he brought a DJ in and played all the scenes and the scores for the entire movie behind us doing the table read for it. And I'd never seen anything like that. And when we walked out of there, when we were talking to the other actors, I was like, this guy's going to get this fucking movie greenlit, and they're going to make this goddamn thing.
Who'd you read?
I read for whoever the bully was.
Okay.
It was right after the new
porn
guy
director?
And all that shit. No,
the high school bully.
The high school guy. The porn director ended up being the guy from Justified.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
He was fucking great.
Well, here's the weird thing. In the table read, it was Jay Moore. So Jay would have been great, and Jay was great in the room. Alicia Cuthbert was there, so she made it. She ended up being the girl. I think Emile Hirsch was there, and then everybody else was kind of recast and all that other stuff. But yeah, that was a weird one. It didn't do that well, but I enjoyed the film.
I think it was big on DVD.
It was, yeah. I enjoyed the movie.
And then this
turned out
another one that's just, it was insanely popular. Napoleon Dynamite.
Bro,
like, this year is just fucking insane.
You're not Bro. Even mentioning Garden State.
Oh shit, was Garden State that year too?
Yeah.
Damn, man. So Garden State. Well, let's start with Napoleon Dynamite. Napoleon Dynamite was at Sundance originally, and nobody knew because it was like, all right, what's this weird fucking midnight movie doing at Sundance? They used to do these really fun midnight movies there, and that was there, and that's where the hype. And the fucking, you know, explosion happened for that film. And it was a blast. I've watched that movie 20 times. My kids have watched it probably 50. It still holds up to this day. Kids love it. Adults love it. Everything else. I still enjoy it. There are some people, though, that are like, fuck this movie now. But it's like, it's just because it's that famous and everybody was doing the voice over and over again. What was the other one? Garden State. Garden State was fucking awesome, dude. Did you guys see Garden State in theaters?
That was a college DVD situation.
Okay. What did you think when you saw it?
That was great.
It was great. So Zach Braff had finished NYU before I got there, and he was there for directing. And his student film was circulating around everywhere. All student films are dog shit. His was fucking incredible. So to learn that he ended up becoming a great director. Like, I was excited to see that movie because of the tape that I saw in college, let alone what that turned out to be. And it was fucking rad, man. Weird sitch with that one, too. He got, I think, $5 million from one guy in Texas because he had Natalie Portman in it, and that's the only reason it got made. But that whole cast and everything all the way around was just so fucking good. If Garden State, or is it Garden State?
Yeah, Garden State.
Garden State. If Garden State comes on to this day, I'll sit and watch it wherever it is. I love it. I love it. Anything else that year? Jesus Christ.
I'm going to give you one more. Wait, let me go back.
They don't even make that many movies in a year total.
I know. So actually, I'll give you two more. One, both of which I liked. One is kind of like artsy, and the other one is the exact fucking opposite of artsy.
Okay.
Sideways and Soul Plane.
Oh, sorry. Soul Plane was Eddie Griffin, I believe, and Kevin Hart.
Also, Barbershop 2 came out this year.
Nope. Not doing that, friends.
I caught Soul Plane, I think, on BET in like 2005. It was like, this is surprisingly funny.
It is. It is. It was one of Kevin Hart's first movies, too. He was great in it. What was the other one?
Sideways.
Sideways. All right. So Sideways ended up winning all the Oscars for shit that year.
Sideways was the one of the screenplays we had to buy in screenwriting class in college.
Was it?
Like the book, yeah.
It was a very, very good screenplay. I forget the guy who did it. He's still doing shit to this day. But it was Paul Giamatti, and then it reinvented that guy's career from Wings, the tall guy.
Yeah, I think it booked him that third Spider-Man movie.
It did, yeah. It got him the Spider-Man.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yep. It got him the Spider-Man movie. He was fantastic in it.
Alexander Payne wrote it.
Yes, that's it. He's one of the best screenwriters there is. And it was a really good movie. For me, that's one of those where I just watch it once and I never go back to it. I'm not popping on Sideways to hang out again, you know?
No, he's all like sad half the time.
Yeah,
he's like divorced and has like terrible sex, but it's like the first sex he's had in a while.
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's just not my
it's a lot.
Fucking jam, but it was a good movie.
I could watch the Hayden Church scenes when he just goes and fucks the fat waitress because he can't get any pussy anywhere else.
Yeah.
On his bachelor party. That's pretty funny.
It's great. It's great. But isn't that crazy? But you just listed off all these bangers. We're lucky to get one of those a year. One.
We really, to quote a terrible comedy that came out recently, we really did have everything.
We did. And then it all went to shit after that. Because that run, the rest of the aughts, as you guys like to call it, which I fucking hate, was legendary. I mean, you had Wedding Crashers. You had fucking Hangover, all that
super
shit.
Bad.
Super Bad. Pineapple Express. All that shit, man. I mean, it was endless back then. And they were all fucking great. Pineapple Express is one I gave notes on during the rough cut. So I saw a 3 hour and 15 minute version of that, or 3 hours and 30 minutes of it. And that was one of the only times I've seen a rough cut over 3 hours where I was like, this is, you could leave it. It's all funny. All of it was fucking hilarious. The shit that got cut the most, I mean, there was like 20 minutes of them sitting in the tree, but all of it was really fucking funny. Danny McBride in that, I was like, dude, that guy's gonna be a superstar. It was a fucking blast, dude. I did a movie with Franco afterwards, after I saw that screening, and I told him, and I go, dude, you're gonna fucking explode after this. And he was like, I hope so, man. It seems weird. And I go, it is, but in a great way. I mean, it's fucking hilarious. Pineapple Express is one of those that still holds up to this day.
Oh, fantastic.
Wasn't that Amber Heard?
Yeah. Yeah.
How weird, man.
It's also weird that a plot point is that he's fucking a high schooler.
Yeah.
He's like 25, 26, just banging a high school chick. And then like the teacher, Joe Latruglio, is a weird dick for like asking this random adult why he's in the high school.
Yeah.
And then is like suspicious of him for banging Amber Heard. And the audience is supposed to be like, get out of here, you jerk. You suck. And you are.
You are.
You're like, let him fuck Amber Heard.
My favorite line from that is not everybody else's famous line, but there was a dude who was dating either Amber Heard or the friend or whatever is hitting on her in that movie. He walks up to them in the high school and he goes, well, it's time to suck the day's dick. And that was one of my favorite lines from the movie.
Yeah, that was incredible. That made the cut.
It did. Yeah, that was in it. Big fan of that movie. Really, really fucking funny. I've always tried to make a sequel out of that too, but I think Franco's too far down the rabbit hole now. He can't get him out.
Seth Rogen says he won't work with Franco anymore.
Is that what he said?
He did say he will no longer be working with James Franco.
That's bullshit, man. Look, Franco was having some fun. You know, you want to have an acting class on Friday nights where you're simulating real sex with your students. You know, they weren't under 18, so they said yes. They said yes. Imagine showing up at your acting class on a Friday night. What are we doing today? So, it's time you guys learn a valuable lesson about sex scenes in Hollywood. Oh, what are they? Well, we have real sex, and you've got to be comfortable with that. Because that never happens, ever. I don't know anybody who's fucked real. There was two rumors that I heard over the years that people actually fucked on screen and in the movie itself, where they both made it. One was Youngblood. You remember that movie with Rob Lowe, who's a hockey player? It was a big, whenever people bring up hockey movies, they bring up Youngblood or Slapshots. It was one of those. And the director allegedly walked over to Rob Lowe after the scene was over and he goes, "Hey, so I'm going to need another take of that." And Rob was like, "Why?" And he goes, that just wasn't believable. And he goes, "Okay, cool. You should check the monitor because I was really fucking her." And then just walks away. And so that was the story that was legendary back then. And there was a rumor that when they got to the edit, there was female assistants that were in their 20s just out of high school, and they were all lined up outside the edit bay because they wanted to watch Rob Lowe fuck this girl. I don't think you understand how big Rob Lowe was back in the day. It was fucking gnarly, man. And then the other one was that I had heard. Again, this is allegedly. I don't want to be sued for this. Was this will blow your mind, Rob. Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton in Monsters Ball.
I think I've heard that one.
So
there's an obvious one,
I buy that though, because Billy Bob's a lunatic.
Shia LaBeouf was fucking in Nymphomaniac.
I didn't see that movie actually.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
I think it was advertised as "This is real sex."
I mean, it's a great hook. Surprised I didn't hear about it. Fuck, man, I'd watch that. I might go watch it tonight. I might have to end the show right now and go watch that.
I mean,
goddamn
Jesse
movie.
Loves Shia. Go sit down for a nice.
Definitely not going to do that. Don't want to show, you know, some of that. Like she didn't want me to see that Jennifer Lawrence movie. The one that just came out with her, fighting buck naked on the beach.
Right. A movie that would have been like the eighth or 10th best of 2004.
Yeah.
And everyone was shitting their pants over it this last summer because it was just a comedy.
I didn't like it.
I liked it. It was good. I thought it was sweet, but it wasn't.
I thought she was great.
I didn't blow my mind, but I liked it.
I like Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's fantastic. Her Hot Ones too is one of the best episodes ever. Weird who she got married to. It's just like a fucking strange dude. And it was kind of quick. And, I think they got a kid. Pull him up on screen. Let's see this fucking guy. Who did Jennifer Lawrence end up marrying? Cause I mean, this might give you hope out there.
He's good looking.
Is he?
And Cook Maroney.
Cook Maroney? And what does a guy with a first name of Cook do in this life?
Isn't he like a producer?
I think he's an art gallery owner, maybe. Yeah. Let me double check. The art gallery owner, by the way, is code for born very wealthy.
Yes. Because it's sweet. You have an empty house, essentially, that you're going to hang art in. And then you tell people what they can and can't do. How old is Cook Maroney here? God damn, they've been married for 6 years already?
I guess so.
Shit.
Let me double check what he does for me.
How old is she now, by the way? What the fuck does Cook
Maroney
do?
So he's an art dealer. So yes, born rich.
Yeah, born 38,
rich.
39. All right. How old is Jennifer Lawrence?
33. She's pretty young.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, dude.
And this dude is a model, producer, TV actor.
Cook Maroney. Yeah, now he's into art. Yeah, he's a rich kid.
He was born in Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, God.
Middlebury, Vermont.
Okay.
You got to think this is just like
family money.
Yeah.
Bullshit, dude.
His name is Cook Maroney.
I know. God damn. Everything about that just screams fucking trust fund kid.
Oh, 100 million.
If I was going to write a script about a kid with fucking a trust fund, his name would be Cook Maroney. Works at it. Is that him right there in real life?
Yeah, this is them.
He's 6'3",
hanging out.
Is he? We're the same size. Damn it, man. I'm kissing 6'4", so I probably see him over him a little bit, you know?
Just see the top of that head, yeah.
Yeah. probably see his whole hairline up top and around, kind of looking down on him like a drone, sort of. But yeah, he's a good looking dude.
His child's name is Cy.
Oh God,
Cy Maroney.
Like the like
how
the
are they
weapon?
Spelling it? Or like the
C Y like
pause.
Cy Young.
Oh, like Cy okay. Young. All right.
I can get into that.
Same. If it was S Y or S I G H.
What about P S I? Like the Greek letter and the weapon.
That's who sings Wapanganum style. Cy, dude.
That's Greek.
Cy the Asian. If it was Cy the Asian, I'd be cool with that too.
So he's 38. He's an NYU.
He went to NYU too? Yeah. Fuck you,
NYU
bro.
NYU alum. His parents own a farm. Can't imagine that's their first job.
Yeah, that's got to be the hobby afterwards.
His dad used to be an art dealer in New York City, and they relocated Vermont in the late 80s.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you get rich, right? You move off to a farm. You have a bunch of people working for you, and then you give your kids money. Look, I'm not shitting on you, Cook Maroney. I would do the same for my
–
hopefully
yeah.
The seltzer company sells one day, and I'm able to do it for my dummy kids, but we'll find out, you know? You got to get – you got to get a break here or there, and I don't know the real answer to that. So, shit. Either way, we learned a lot about Sweet Lou Gossett Jr. And R.I.P. Chappie Sinclair. This was the Iron Eagle episode. We should just call this the Iron Eagle episode all the way around. Because if I did have like gun to head, and they were like, "Look, you're gonna have to watch one of these Lou Gossett Jr. movies before you go and strangle bait tonight." Which one is it going to be? It would be Iron Eagle. Even though the other guy did hang himself buck naked in the shower in the other one, I'm still going Iron Eagle on this sitch here and getting into it. What's that weird clip above it real quick that you're on right now?
It's from Jaws 3. I don't think he's in it, though. It's just Dennis Quaid and someone else getting attacked by the shark.
Quaid was in Jaws 3D?
Dennis Quaid, Leah, whatever, Marty McFly's mom in Back to the Future, and Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah, you know, she was just in the latest season of Fargo. She was really goddamn good in it, by the way. I couldn't believe I got into Fargo, that TV show. Like I said, we were talking about this the other day on the show. There's nothing on, so now we're just kind of going back and watching shit that we hadn't seen before. I didn't want to give Fargo a chance because I like the movie so much, and this will go back to fucking 97 there. Right, for Homeboy? It wasn't William H. Macy nominated in that same category? Against Cuba Gooding Jr. setting
yes.
Fargo? Yeah.
Yes.
I love the movie Fargo so much that I was like, the fuck are you guys going to remake this into a TV show? What they did was they did a different murder every season, and it wasn't the same. It was set in, you know, the same place, but it was a different murder every single time, and I dug it. I was a big fan of it, so I went through
it. Really has just absolutely nothing.
I went through all the seasons.
To do with the show, or nothing. The movie Fargo.
I said the same thing to Jesse, and I go, the odd thing about it is, Fargo is, I guess, your hook to get people to watch it, but you didn't need it at all. It was so good. You could have named it anything if you wanted to.
It's just IP. Just IP. Got to make it IP.
That's it, man. It fucking sucks.
Can't make a Holocaust movie without Magneto.
No, and that's what Judd Apatow was bitching about the other day. He went on a rant like 3 days ago about HBO selling off their entire catalog to Netflix. And he was like, now everybody's going to watch these fucking shows for the first time, and they're just going to remake that IP into something else. And I was like, yeah, that's what they're going to do. What I was unaware of was Sex and the City was on there on Netflix. And so that was trending like number two in the world. Because again, we have no TV shows. And Jesse was telling me that apparently there's a segment of TikTok that has gone back and watched it. Like kids who had never watched Sex and the City or young women, like 18, you know, 19 years old. And they're like, man, what a piece of shit Sarah Jessica Parker was in that show. I'm like, I'll go back and watch it. I don't know.
Love that.
Yeah. They were like, she was a horrible friend. She hated kids. She was horrible to her boyfriends and shit. And they were like, she deserved to be fucking single in the goddamn city. So I don't know, but I'll check it out. Either way, kids, I appreciate you tuning in, having some laughs, having some drinks here today. Shout out to the listeners that are here. You guys are fucking boozing. Put the camera on those guys real quick if you can behind you. Delco. Let's pop it open back there. Cheers. Let's get a little wave back there, guys. Boom. Behind the Taylor Swift flag. Take some cases with you here. Go to iTunes. Rate the show 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star. And you can walk away at that point. Rest in peace, Chappie Sinclair. You were the best. God damn it. She's not here, but I'll say goodbye anyways. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. the Jables, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Revolucion. Buenos tardes, everyone. We'll be right back.